to Heavenly Blessings with Linda Dillon, the channel for the Council of Love and author of The Great Awakening, Suzanne Maresca, and myself, Graham Duye. It's a pleasure to be with you. Our guest today is Archangel Gabriel, to discuss the quality of joy. And we welcome your comments and questions. You can give us a call at 323-784-9697, 323-784-9697, and press 1 so Suzanne knows to bring you on, and we'll do our best to do just that. If you're just joining us, over the last 5 weeks, this is our 6th week, we've been covering the divine qualities, or the 13 blessings and virtues as described in Linda's book. And these are the qualities that help us achieve and remain in a state of unity, trust, forgiveness, connection, balance, and love. And these attributes are higher dimensional, and they're key in building Nova Earth. So that's why we're doing this. And it's been such a wonderful series. It's been such a great exploration and journey, and you're part of that. So today we encourage you to give us a call and share as we talk about joy. Let us know what's coming up for you. A lot of people are not feeling so joyful these days. A lot of people are, and there are a bunch of us in between. What brings you joy? And if you're not feeling joyful, maybe share a little bit about that, because you're not alone. And so we're discussing the quality of joy today. Welcome, Linda. Suzanne, welcome.
Good morning.
Hi, everybody. It's great to be here. And well, Archangel Gabriel is like one of my favorite beings in the universe. She's my go-to gal. So today feels really special.
Mm-hmm.
How are you doing, Suzanne?
Oh, I'm doing great. I feel like Gabrielle's been talking to me, starting with last night, because I, you know, ask for help and guidance. And, you know, so it's wonderful. I feel like we're in touch.
Linda, can you speak briefly to, sometimes people have had questions in the past, well, is it Gabriel or Gabrielle?
Well, we're all familiar with Archangel Gabriel, right? And that is the masculine aspect or the masculine face of Archangel Gabriel. But when Gabriel... And you know what, if you call her Gabriel, she's still going to answer as Gabriel. But when I first started working with Archangel Gabriel, she, very clearly a she energy, wanted to be known in the fullness of her feminine identity. Now, it's not that it cancels out or in any way diminishes that energy of the masculine face of Archangel Gabriel. But over the years, she has come to be asked to be known as Archangel Gabriel. And in fact, when we talk about the fullness of her name, and some of you are familiar with how we beckon and call in the archangels, her full name is Susanna Michaela Gabriel.
Ooh.
And the Susanna piece of it comes from the derivative of suzerain, you know, that, and that's a very ancient word, which is meaning the leader or the, you know, the head of, connoting leadership. And the Michaela, of course, is just an honoring of her brother, Michael. And then, of course, Gabrielle is self-evident. But a lot of people don't know or relate to Archangel Gabriel the way, or Gabriel the way that they do to, say, Archangel Michael. But Gabriel is the central administrator, you know, for God. So she's very busy, and she's known as the Lily of Love and the Trumpet of Truth, and has worked with her gold essence with us on joy, on healing, on creation. So she's very, very present in our life. And she's the only archangel that comes forward in this group, certainly the group that I work with, as a feminine energy. So it's also part of the balance.
And speaking of balance, we are experiencing a greater infusion, if that's not the word I want to use, but the influx of feminine energies on the planet. So I suspect that Archangel Gabrielle is a key player in that.
Yes, she is. And, you know, when we post the archangels, Mikael, Raphael, Uriel, Yophiel, which are the masculines, around, the four corners of the room, Gabrielle is always in the middle, bringing into that sealed space that quality of the divine feminine. So she very much brings it. You know, I had an experience when I was first getting started that I had this, I was doing some past life work with the Apostle Peter, and he would come and show me every day. But I had this recurring vision of a lifetime where I was on ship traveling from Europe to North America. And every day on the ship, I was walking the deck with this woman who was teaching me, you know, like a mystery school teaching, and bringing, I was Quaker, and she was broadening my perspective on spirituality. And it wasn't until years later that I understood that that being wasn't a physical being at all, that way back then, Archangel Gabrielle had been walking the decks and giving me lessons, as it were, that were going to prepare me for my mission in the United States at that time. So she's very present.
Well, anything that you two would like to speak to about joy or anything coming up generally before we launch into a meditation?
I think that sometimes people think that joy is walking around feeling happy all the time. And while it can be, it isn't always. And, you know, joy is the umbrella, of course, one of the qualities that we need if we're going to create. But, you know, that definition that's been channeled by the council, to be fully thankful and grateful and one with the gift of our life, purpose, and spirit, it doesn't always mean that everything is going smoothly and that we're happy, because happy tends to be a reaction. Happy tends to be we are happy about something. But joy is this sense of rightness and alignment and the divine perfection and what I call the smile in the tummy. So even when we're having a hard time, like in the moment, we know if we go a little deeper that the joy is there. We tend to think often that joy is something we have to go out and get, but it isn't. It can be catalyzed by what we do, and we can build on it, but that spark is already inside of us.
I like that.
Wouldn't
you say joy in the tummy or feeling in the tummy, would you say?
Yeah, that smile in the tummy. You know
smile
that feeling.
Yeah, I like that. That's great. That's great. Dan, anything you'd like to share?
I was just, excuse me, appreciating that definition because I really feel that I have that as a basis, and thankful and grateful and aware of why I'm here, and so that knowing of being in service and having purpose and all that sort of thing does bring me joy. And I think it's the things that happen to us in our everyday life, the things that we have to respond to that we might not necessarily feel like it, that that might interfere with that. But it's always at the basis of, like, this is why I'm here and this is what I'm here to do, and the rest of it is just, you know, sort of peripheral story parts. So if we put our focus and attention on what the foundational message and reason is for us being here, it's a little easier to have a good feeling about it.
Mm, nice.
Yeah.
Thank you both for sharing around that. How about a meditation, Linda?
Well, and I'm just, you know, when I'm in this zone, what I'm thinking maybe we could do with everybody who's listening this morning is we could do a meditation to go inside and find that golden spark of joy within each of us and sort of kindle it, fire it up.
And it is in each of us. It's our natural state. It's part of who we are. It's inherent in every being. It's part of our light. It's part of that divine spark. So, yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Okay, let's go. So let's begin by relaxing, by making yourself comfortable. First and foremost, meditation isn't just about assuming certain positions or poses. It's about making sure that you're comfortable in your chair, on the floor, on your bed, so that your body isn't getting your attention, that you're comfortable enough to just let your body be. So let's begin with a wonderful in-breath of what we call the Gabrielle Gold. And it's that deep, old, rich, Florentine, Italian, burnished gold. And see that gold as a river of lava, as a creek of olive oil, that time of day when the sun turns everything beautifully gold, at that point when summer just begins to whisper into autumn, and breathe gold. Open your crown, your heart, your solar plexus, your tummy, your root, and just feel that central channel that runs around your spine like a cylinder is wide open. Let go of the day, the week, what lies ahead, what lies behind. And just give yourself permission to be here. And feel like you're sinking back, that you're falling back into a golden hay pile, into golden meadow grasses, and feel that sun on your face. Not the hot sun, but the sun that just warms you and makes you feel safe and drowsy and oh so cozy. And feel around you the golden nectar, the honeybees, the yellow butterflies, the wild canaries, the wild daffodils, the daisies, the black-eyed Susans, the buttercups, even the dandelions. this energy of gold, of yellow, of joy is all around us. So as you lie there, just feel that energy penetrating you and let yourself release and go deeper. Deeper. Feel all your muscles relaxed. A slight smile on your face. And breathe in that burnished old gold. And we ask the beings of gold, our beloved Archangel Gabriel, Sanat Kumara, Yahweh, to come and to stand around us and to help us remember our birthright, our core, our spark, our essence of joy. So go and anchor in your heart more deeply until you feel as if that's all you are, is just your heart. And feel the gold flame, part of your tri-flame, that burns so brightly there. It's the color of a candle flame, of a campfire. Of a midnight star. Go more deeply into your heart and feel the safety and security as this triad is around you of Raj and Gabby, Yahweh Father. And let go just for a few minutes, let go. And from that core of your heart, ask to be shown where in your body have you stored your divine spark of joy? Where does that beautiful golden flame or coin or box or locket, where does it live in your body? Literally in your physical body. So again with me, just ask that this be shown the location and what it looks like, because it will be unique to you. Where is it? Allow yourself to just be guided and wander. Is it in your heart? Your second rib? Your lungs? Your solar plexus? Your hip? Your right thigh? Is it on your shoulders or back? Or in your head? Go and find where you have stored your joy. You can do this. And allow and breathe. Now, once you have it, I want you to bring it back to your heart as a flame, as a locket, as a coin. It matters not. Even if it is dull and tarnished, we're going to clean it up. And if you don't understand the form it has taken or the symbolism for you, simply ask Gabrielle, what does this mean? She'll tell you. And go deeper, staying in your heart. Now I want you to look at this joy and simply ask it, what does it need? What is it asking of you to become a towering inferno? To blaze brightly throughout your being and throughout your everyday life so that it can help you. And listen. Maybe it's more laughter, more silliness, more time to simply be. Maybe it's giving yourself a night off. Maybe it's allowing grief to leave your body or disappointment. Do not judge what the joy tells you. Just receive the information. And agree from that core of your heart, your solar plexus, and your tummy that you will do this. That you will do it because you claim your birthright of joy. You claim your right to go forward in joy. That it can be your staff, your rod. And when things are hard or tough, you have your joy. So make that promise and do it right now. And just sit with it while we receive this message from our beloved Gabrielle. Let it grow. Greetings, I am Gabrielle.
Welcome.
And welcome to you, dear heart. Welcome to all of you, and I bring you a bounty of joy this day, for there is always enough to go around and to share richly and fully, lavishly. Joy is who you are. You are the substance of love and the matter of joy. You are the embodiment of the that essence of laughter and the tinkling of gladness, the song of freedom. All of these are interwoven as one, interwoven uniquely into your tapestry and into your being. You have shifted, my sweet angels, into the fifth dimension, into the new reality of Gaia. Yes, some do not know it, and that is why I bring this good news, for it is news etched in gold. But why do I choose to speak of this? Because in this reality, there is enormous joy. There is never-ending, infinite, eternal joy. Does this mean that there are not people or situations or environments or the old debris of the third that crumbles, that does not hurt you, irritate you, and cause you momentary pain? No, it doesn't. But what it does mean is that as that occurs, and as you witness that destruction of the old, that you have this wellspring, that you have this ocean of golden radiance to drink, to call upon, to nourish you. When you wish to heal, fill yourself with my golden elixir, for it will permeate every cell, every pore, every organ, your blood, everything, and it renews you. Joy is the anti-aging agent of the century, and it makes you beautiful and radiant, because there is nothing more beautiful than joy. Yes, I am a little biased, but I also know the truth. I am the lily of love. I am the trumpet of truth. And dear heart, my trumpet, my horn is gold. There is nothing meek and mild about gold. And yes, there are many who say that I am the most outspoken archangel there is. Well, I take that as a compliment, because joy is outrageous. Joy is clarion, but joy is also gentle. It is as soft as my lily and the golden center of pedestal. So I welcome you. You do not need to claim your joy, but it does need to be built upon. And it needs to be built upon because you are the way showers. You are the pathfinders. You are the teachers, the healers, the channels. And you cannot do that if you are stuck in depression and doldrum. And what is the antidote for depression or clearing or doldrums? It is a very generous dose of joy. It is the golden elixir that expands and heals all parts of your body and all parts of your bodies, your sacred field. And joy is the still point between masculine and feminine. It is all. It does not pick and choose. It is free and abundant to all. And I am infusing you with this even as we speak. I want you to call and sing from the treetops, to spread your wings and fly, to rise like the phoenix from the ashes of the third, and descend. I will carry you if that is what it takes, and I will do so joyfully. Come with me. Let us explore this wondrous mystery called joy. Yes, where do you wish to begin?
Thank you so much for those inspiring words, and it's great to have you. I'm connecting with what you were sharing earlier. Joy is who you are. And I was thinking as you were talking, I was thinking about the film The Lion King. And for those of you who might not know, it's about a young cub that, for a number of reasons, goes off to a far-off land, and there's some struggle, there's confusion. He's disconnected to who he really is. And at one point he looks into this really beautiful piece of water, and his father, Mufasa, who is the king of the lion clan and who has since passed, comes through in this big booming voice, "Remember who you are." I think it was James Earl Jones, who is the actor for Mufasa. And it was this really beautiful moment of the cub who had been growing, stopping to pause, to reflect, and connect to who he really is. And so I use this for a couple of reasons. One, like the cub, many of us have been living in this illusion, right? We've been in a play. We've been in our own story. And we're connecting more and more to who we really are. And joy is such an integral part of who we are. I'm thinking about how many times I've felt, geez, I don't feel joyful. And I, you know, I've got this and I've got that going on. There's all kinds of reasons to think, well, this is such a struggle or this is such a challenge. And yet if I reframe my thinking around this and remember, hey, my natural state is joy. It's who I am. I mean, that's just who I am. I am love. I am joy. I am all these divine qualities that we're talking about. It just opens the door really wide to step into that and really connect to that. Anything you'd like to say about all that?
This is a beautiful analogy. And yes, joy is the truth of who you are. It is the core that burns brightly. So when you are not in joy, when you feel that you have stepped outside that reality, and let me tell you, it is not just our reality, it is the reality in the core, the mirror of who you are, then I ask of thee that you ask yourself, why on earth am I making choices or doing things, because it is free will decisions. Why am I choosing any area of my life that is not a reflection and a demonstration and a builder of joy? Why am I doing that? And you cannot, dear hearts, fall into this illusion that somehow it is being done to you. You are far more powerful creators than that. But you do not create successfully. It does not stick, as it were, if you do not stay in the heart of joy. The other thing is that you do not get earthly, humanly, practical about practicing joy. You get enmeshed so often in what isn't bringing you joy that you forget every day, minimally, to do things that do bring you joy. Yes, often to many, I have given the very practical prescription for joy. 15 minutes every day in human reality, not in meditation, not in bliss, not out of your body, but in your body, in physicality, doing something that brings you joy. Perhaps it is simply staring at your sleeping child. Looking at old photographs. Looking at pictures of beautiful places. Music. Bubble baths. Memories. You do not take enough time for these. And when you do, it reignites your joy and it does spread. It infuses your entire being. 15 minutes of real joy in the physical is enough to carry you throughout the entire day. And it will simply build. So yes, remember who you are. Do not go screaming at heaven. And I am not saying that I will not help you, because there is nothing I would like more. But do not wait on us. Begin. Begin, my beloved ones. Because I am here to remind you. You did not choose this mission and purpose, this journey, out of a sense of obligation of, I must, I should, I better. No. You chose it because it was the most exciting, fulfilling offer on the table. And you jumped at the chance. You did not say, all right, Mother, I'll go again. No. You turned to each other and you said, this sounds like a blast. Let's go. And of course, I was right there with you. So yes, remember the truth. Because in that truth of your being is the joy.
And there's an exercise here, a really relevant and important opportunity for us to let go of the old, let go of that which doesn't serve us. That includes old belief systems. It includes relationships or habits, what we do for work, where we live, stepping away from drama and conflict, those things that compromise our state of joy. And we have the power. We have the power to create that which we experience. And I'm thinking about the societal distractions and the norms that many of us, certainly in Western culture, are faced with every day. And it's easy to look around and say, my God, this is overwhelming with struggle. And how can I feel joy? And yet I also want to help us connect to, maybe you can help me remember the community I'm thinking of in Africa, Archangel Gabriel. There was a feature of a video, a small video vignette I saw about a community in Africa, very simple, might have been South Africa, a very simple village. At first blush, one could say, well, geez, they don't have anything. I mean, I think they're living in huts and didn't have much for clothes, and yet they were identified as some of the happiest, joyous people on earth because they had community. They had just such great love. They had found in their station in life, in their simple lives, such richness in the connection to themselves, to each other, to the earth. Meanwhile, a lot of us here in Western culture are trying to sustain these norms and these expectations and muddle through these distractions, which really, in many respects, aren't feeding us and aren't bringing us joy. We have the power to step away from that.
That is absolutely correct. And yes, it is in South Africa. Let me say that joy is not only outrageous, but courageous. And let us use the example of this small tribe of what many would think of as primitive, and it perhaps is one of the most advanced civilizations on your planet. I speak about the courage, because when one of them loses their joy or missteps, there is the acknowledgement that not only does it affect the individual, but the collective of the tribe is also immediately affected. So the tribe, the community, comes together to heal that individual and to help restore that sense of balance, of rightness, of joy. So often in your community, and I am speaking of the Western world in the broadest sense of the word, you will hear people say, well, I don't see that person anymore because it's always a downer. Or I don't do that anymore because it just brings me down. Now, I have spoken to you about the quality of free choice, decision, in what you choose to bring you daily joy. But it is courageous to also have your joy and to say to the person that is not in joy, hey, what's going on? Let's restore this. Not to assume their burden or reality. And of course, this is related to all the blessings and virtues. It is related to compassion, to love and truth. But so often, you simply take a left turn and try to avoid, because this will not bring me joy, rather than seeing through it. And also saying, we better fix this because it's going to affect all of our joy. So that is another element, and I am glad you have brought it up. Joy is contagious. It is a strong viral energy, and it moves at lightning speed. The three of you have experienced this morning when one started to laugh and the three of you could not stop. It wasn't about anything. It was just the gladness of heart, the gladness of being, that you were together in this sacred undertaking of your mission and purpose.
Yes, yes, indeed. You speak of unitive consciousness, and I am thinking about this is where we're headed, and this is what higher dimensional beings do for one another, just reiterating what you've already said. So if one member of a community, and this is what happens in unity consciousness, is experiencing a lower vibrational, going through a lower vibrational experience, others rally because they recognize how it does affect the collective. And I also do want to speak to the value and importance of healthy boundaries too, right? So let's say I'm in a relationship or someone's in a relationship and it's volatile and abusive. Certainly as we're letting go of the old third and as we're experiencing some of these, some are experiencing some of these situations, I think it is important to stress. You got to take care of yourself too. I mean, you hold that person in love and joy and ask for the highest good. But, certainly, like you said, don't assume their burden. Don't assume their reality. Extend compassion, love.
And to acknowledge your right for joy.
Right.
So there are times when the greatest gift is saying, we are not in joy. We are not creating and co-creating. This is not for our highest good. I love you, I bless you, and I release you to your joy, to find your joy. Because obviously, I am not giving it to you. I am not the catalyst for your joy, and you are not the catalyst for mine. So let us create distance so we can breathe and rediscover that joy and support each other, either actually or from a very far distance, in that rediscovery of joy.
I also wanted to speak to being in a high vibrational state, which includes being in joy. I've observed that when I'm in joy and I go through an exercise regularly where I put myself in joy, not unlike what you were recommending, think of a memory or think of a connection I had, or I'll probably think of the fun exchange that Linda and Suzanne and I had before the show where I didn't think I could actually introduce the show without laughing. That would have been great. That would have been fine. But when I'm in a state of joy, when I'm in a state of love and peace and calm, the lower vibrational qualities, they just can't stick to me. So worry, fear, doubt, those kinds of experiences or qualities, they're almost non-existent. Boy, there's no other way to be.
They cannot coexist together. Think of the joy as the flame that burns away fear or mistrust or lack. So you are correct in that. They cannot coexist.
What do you, and I want to bring on some other folks to ask some questions, and for those of you who are listening on the internet now, you can call us at 323-784-9697, and that number is on the show page. Give us a call. If you have a question, you have a comment, we'd love to hear from you. This is a co-creative effort here and a journey we're doing together. For those of you already calling, just press 1. Suzanne will know that you want to join the conversation. As you think about the Earth right now, can you give us a sense as Gaia has entered into the fifth dimension and as her inhabitants have entered into the fifth dimension, what are you observing in terms of the state of joy? How has it improved over these last several months?
It has improved dramatically. Now, even within that, you say, but I have been clearing and I have been dealing with old vasanas or issues or debris. And yes, dear hearts, you have been doing that for millions. But why are you doing it? Because you are claiming your joy. And you are doing it not necessarily with a sense of drudgery. Oh, I have to mop this floor again. It's dirty. No, you're doing it in a way that is saying, I want this floor to shine brightly. I want it to be a wonderful mirror. I want to see if there's a speck of dirt on this floor. So I'm shining it up. Gaia is in joy. She is singing to the planets in her galaxy. She is shining brightly.
That is so wonderful to hear. And I'm not surprised. I remember when we were connecting with Gaia some time ago, and she was talking about the despair that she was feeling with the state of what she had been experiencing, the neglect, the abuse. This was shortly after the Gulf oil spill. And to hear that is just such, well, it's so joyful. It's how wonderful.
And you have need to know that Gaia's joy, the joy of the kingdoms, of the devas, of the mountains, of the trees, that is contagious as well. So go out and dance on the skin of Gaia. Touch her. Touch your plants, your flowers, your trees, your snow, your water. And let that joy be communicated to your very core. Let it act as a catalyst, as an expander. She is waiting for you.
I'm going to bring on a caller in just a moment, but I feel inspired to ask you, there's so much, I'm sure, that brings you joy, but what's bringing you joy the most in this moment of now?
The Divine Mother coming forward and making her presence more and more clearly known upon the planet. I am the messenger, you know, for the Council of Love. And so often those messages have not been as fully received. Now the Mother speaks to you of how to bring forth your new world, your new self, the quality of creation, how it works. This brings me joy because not only does the Mother speak and you overflow with joy, but because you are listening, because you are acting, because you are moving and saying, oh, yes, I remember I'm supposed to feel good.
Remembering who we are. Beautiful. Judy from Colorado, welcome. What's your comment or question?
Good morning. Thank you so much. What a blessing
just to
have you all there. Hi. Good morning, Gabriella. Oh, my goodness, what a joy. excuse me, choked up the snow. Question is kind of a two-part, please, and the reception isn't too great here. As we were going through the meditation with Linda, before we started, I saw that the joy was in the solar plexus, and my right finger was bouncing up and down, affirming that so much my hand was jumping off the chair. And I'm wondering one of two things, why it is there, and I saw it in a trunk with the lid closed, and then it would open and close, as to I could bring it out only at times. And the other part is I have a place in Sedona. I'm being really pulled to go there now, and finances are a little tight. But the joy of doing that and being around other light workers seems like a next step to me, and I'm wondering if that's a good idea. And I know Mother Mary's presence is more so. Is there a way I can see it or do that better? That's a long question. I'm sorry to take so much time.
First of all, the joy will sit or have been stored, shall we say, in different places in your body for each one of you. The important thing is, dear heart, is that you've located it. Now, you located it in your center, your hara, in your solar plexus, which is also your place of will and alignment with divine will. What your very being is saying is that it is willing you to accept that wonderful treasure chest of joy and let the trunk lid be opened and leave it open. And let it, that abundance, that treasure, flow out into every part of your being, of your life. So open the lid. Stop keeping it down. There is no reason. Now, I am not suggesting that you be foolhardy when finances are a consideration. But what I say to you and to every one of you, go to where your joy is. And it may be sitting in front of a campfire, sitting in front of a Kuan Yin statue, sitting with your children playing snakes and ladders, watching The Lion King. Do not think, yes, there are places that geographically bring you greater joy, and it is important to know that and to locate yourself in those places, but do not make the error of thinking that joy is geographic. It goes with you wherever you go. It is within the child. It always has been. So if there are places or activities that bring your joy to abundance, then do so. But do not set yourself up saying, I will go there because it brings me joy, and then I get there and what I have done is self-sabotage, thinking this will bring me joy, but in fact what it has brought me is distress. That is an ego maneuver that you have need to let go of.
Judy, what
being more, I'm sorry.
What kinds of things do you do to cultivate joy in your life?
You know, because I've been a light worker like the rest of you from day 1 billion years ago, I know it's part of the segment built into my very essence. And sometimes the Capricorn nature of me, which is responsible, pushes everything aside and says, I'm going to be do these obligatory things first, and it's going to be okay. Satisfaction about that, and I'm going to trust because I'm trusting that joy will come from the fulfillment of seeing to the needs of my soul. But sometimes I don't take the time, and I just go, well, when I get around to the joy, it will pop, we'll recognize it. So I don't know if that's an answer to the question, but I keep thinking when I get this done, then more joy will come around, as if it was ego and item-based, which I know it's not.
You were breaking up a
little bit. You have need to make joy a top priority, not something that you squeeze in, dear children, at the end of the day if you have a few minutes. That is not how it works.
I appreciate that. Any other comments on Sedona? Because it's soothing me, and I know it's not geographically based, but I'm really eager to be around more like-minded people.
Then do so. It is
Judy,
that simple.
Thanks so much for your call today, Judy. Great to have
appreciate
you.
Appreciate it very much. Bye.
Okay.
Thank
Susan
you, Gabrielle, so
California.
Much.
California. Yeah. Susan from California, welcome to the show. Can you hear us okay? Oh, hold on just a minute. All right, let's try that again. Susan, are you there?
I'm here, and
hi,
I appreciate
welcome.
All of your hard work, all of you. I love listening and reading. Thank you. Am I muted?
No, you're on. It's great to have you, and thanks
okay.
thanks for those comments. What's your question or comment today?
I need a little advice. I'm recently married, and I love my husband very much. It was a long time before we were able to get together. We had responsibilities in different parts of the country, and he has lost his parents. And that's fine because it was that time in their lives. But his siblings are very difficult to be around for me. It's almost polarizing how I am and how I live my life and how they're stuck. And at first I thought it was the grieving, but it's a year and a half later, and I believe that they haven't made the choice to be happy. and it's like a garbage truck dumping on me. And I really don't want to sever my relationship with them, and they're so dependent upon my husband and myself. I just would like to help create joy in their lives without being responsible for them. And I was wondering if you could give me some tools as to how to cope being around them.
First of all, dear heart, you cannot fall into judgment.
Oh, I'm aware, and I try very hard. Thank you for reminding me.
It is a gentle reminder, and understand that. And also understand that there is not one human being upon the planet that is not being transformed, transmuted, and growing into the fullness of their fifth dimensional being. So I offer this as a hope. But dear heart, no one can interfere with your joy. This is what I have said, is when you try to turn your back or turn your head rather than resolve the community issue in unity consciousness. First of all, yes, titanium is very effective, but if you are working with joy, erect golden shields. So put yourself in a golden cylinder when you are around people that you wish to interact with, that you, for various reasons of commitment, are choosing, because I do not use the word required, you are choosing to interact with, but put yourself, shield yourself with gold so that anything that is not of joy bounces off and create situations. Do not allow that downward spiral of conversation and action that simply brings you to a place of collective misery. Create situations, be creative, that when you are together, that you, in your head, in your heart, have this agenda of joy activities, of joy conversations. You talk about grief, but has the time come to have the joy conversations of remembering the good times, of laughing about the pranks, the silliness, the sweetness, the poignancy? The other thing that you need to do when you are dealing with a collective is to have soul conversations with them, to call their higher self forward in meditation and remember and talk to them that their birthright is joy and that you want to be with them in a communion, a family relationship of joy, not dependency, not morose, not lower vibration, but of joy. These soul conversations will penetrate their consciousness, and you will see the shift. That is the tools I give you.
Thank you, because that really makes sense to me, the reminder of the higher self conversations. And that makes me feel better.
And go with my joy, sweet angel.
Thank you.
Farewell. Mm-hmm.
Thanks so much for calling, Susan. All right, Suzanne. I know you have some questions. Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me? Okay.
Yeah, sure can.
Hi.
Hi.
First, I would like to say thank you to Linda for the brilliant meditation, because it helped me realize that some of my joy is locked up in disappointment. I also realize these life experiences all have purpose to bring us closer to who we are and closer to God. I find my joy in meditation most often because I feel my connection at that time to all that is, that I can connect with the masters and the archangels and angels and everyone. And it seems like that's transferring into my, I want to say my waking life, my non-meditative times, and that it's just becoming, if I invite it when I'm just doing my daily life, that's what works out. So I have two questions. One of them is around, I try to approach caring for my daughter with joy, and realizing that there's purpose to us being together, and with her challenges and who I am, that's just perfect. But seeing her suffer is a challenge for me, for both of us, and feeling the purpose of that. And I was wondering if you could speak to that at all, Gabrielle. And thank you for being here and speaking to us this way.
Oh, dear heart, you are so welcome. Because do you know that you are also my namesake, Susanna Michaela Gabrielle?
Mm-hmm.
So I embrace you fully and strongly. There is nothing more difficult, probably in any planet or reality, than watching your child suffer. It is the greatest soul challenge. The same way that when you see your child thrive and sparkle, it is your greatest joy.
Exactly.
So how do you maintain the joy, particularly when your child is going through, shall we say, a rough patch? And she is, because she is in her sacred journey. She is in her blessed journey. It is a reminder, it is cold comfort, and I know that. But I also remind you that the clearing and the letting go of the old is also part of her soul decision to claim joy and the higher dimensional reality, to be the truth of who she really is. Now, I am not suggesting to you that you try to jolly her out of such a clearing, because it is necessary and it is functional. But similarly, when that phase, because if we are not talking 10 minutes, that is not the nature of your question.
Mm-hmm.
When that phase is going on, then it is all the more important for both of you to do the exercises, the little things, together and individually, that will bring you joy.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be as simple as sitting on the sofa, holding hands, and watching a funny movie, looking at baby pictures, sharing stories of your struggles as you were growing up, and your victories.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are the wise one. You are her guide in form. You are her nurturer. Her mother, just as Graham, is a father. And these are important roles that can never, ever be underestimated.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it is the balance. So do not just become involved in the difficulty. Bring yourself back, even if it means going in your room, closing the door, and filling yourself with my golden elixir so that you can be that golden beacon, because you are the lighthouse that says there is hope and there is light ahead.
Yes.
but do it in the practical sense too. Do silly things, outrageous things, things that cannot help but make you laugh.
Oh, we do. We do. I so appreciate that. Okay, the other part of this is I'm really grateful for this this realization of connection that's already been there. And when Linda's talking about the golden light is what I work with every day, and it's what I send to people, and it's how I work with the earth and everything and the sun. And so is that you? Is that you? Are we always together in that way?
Well, it is not just me. It is you as well. And yes, it is the way we work together. You are one of mine, dear heart.
Oh, yay. Thank you. Beautiful.
Oh, no. I thank you.
Okay, I'm good.
Then go with my joy, my laughter, and use also the golden flame gently to burn away the debris. It will help.
Okay, beautiful. Thank you, Gabrielle.
You're welcome.
We talked about clearing for the collective, and something that I want to share, if it is helpful for some who are listening, I've noticed that I've been experiencing some physical symptoms, some low back pain for about a week now, and I'm realizing that it's energetic and that it is tied to clearing for the collective. And I recognize that I have been, and you spoke to it, Gabrielle, I, like myself, like many others, have come here to clear for the collective. And so I've been in a quandary until recently where I'm thinking, well, geez, I feel like I've hit bedrock on so many of the gunk and the stuff. We talk about vasanas, we talk about clearing on an individual level, and it occurred to me, well, oh, okay, so I'm doing some stuff here for the collective. And then as you were talking about our work here on Earth, I connected to how you were saying it is a joyful exercise to be doing this. I found a renewed, not a renewed, but I found myself with fortitude and with joy saying, yeah, I'll do this. This feels like really important and honorable work because I care for the planet and I care for humanity and all beings on the planet so much. And so for those of you that may be thinking to yourselves, geez, you know, I thought I did all my work. I thought I cleared all my work. Well, you may very well have. There may be still a little bit left, which I understand if we're clearing for the collective, there needs to be a little bit left. Otherwise, it wouldn't connect to us. But if you're wondering, why the heck am I still going through stuff? It may be that you are clearing for the collective, that you're doing this as a soul contract kind of thing. Anything more you want to speak to that?
Yes, because what you have done is you have shifted your perspective in terms of what you are working through. It puts you back in that place of gratitude, because gratitude cannot be separate from joy. So you are saying, all right, I am grateful. This is part of what my mission is. And so even though it is perhaps momentarily uncomfortable, I can do this with joy because I know the true purpose.
Right, right, indeed. And I wanted to just tease out a little bit more. I was talking with some of my colleagues who together we formed the group Light Stewards, Sisters and Brothers of Unity, and we work and discuss a lot of these kinds of things. It's no coincidence that we were talking about the creative process and identifying that in order to be able to be creative, that there are prerequisites, which include being in the present, being in the now, so that we can be aware of and mindful of things that come up. And we spoke of those things in terms of unwanted or limiting conditions. So if there's fear, if there's worry, if there is doubt, for us to be able to source those, look at them, shine a light on them, let the feelings come up, if they're old belief systems, to be able to look at that, let those clear, let those release so that we can get to a place where we can fully step into our true selves, joy being one of them.
Yeah, shine the golden light upon these lower vibrations. Now, what you are talking about also, and I want to make a distinction. You think of doubt, of fear, of happy or sad as an emotion or a belief. They do not have, can I say, the solidity, the substance of the divine qualities, joy included. Joy is a state of being. It is a condition. It is not something that floats in and out. Yes, you are building your bonfire, but you already have the flame and the match. It is already within you. Now, doubt is not a core condition. It is a situational response. It is a belief in limitation or fear that you are not loved enough or cared enough or powerful enough. So when you take the higher condition, the divine quality, and you take the ray of that quality, and you bring that energy to the doubt, the fear, whatever it is, it will dissolve it.
Thanks for speaking to that. And I wanted to reconnect to something that was shared earlier, and then I'd like to bring on Suzanne from Connecticut as our next caller in a moment. There are many reasons we could say why, if we look at the state of the earth, why we shouldn't feel joyful. It's getting back to the shoulds, right? And so for me, I can acknowledge and recognize that there are many opportunities for growth and expansion and improvement on the earth. I can choose to get into a place of despair when I reflect on so many of the challenges that people are experiencing, the state of the earth in terms of the impacts that humans have placed on her, what humans are doing to one another, the lower vibrational qualities that greed and other qualities bring about in humans. And I can really connect to that on a deep emotional level. I can really identify with that, those experiences and what's happening on the planet. I'm teasing this out a little bit because for those that might be thinking, well, how in the heck can I feel joyful when all this happens? I really understand that and I resonate with that. And I want to say that we can look at that, we can acknowledge that, we can recognize that, we can take action in our own ways to address that. And it could be on a very local level, it could be doing things on a larger level, it could be sending love and light to the situation, compassion, understanding, holding the vision for a different outcome, and recognizing that there are many changes and things are improving. I'm saying all this because for me, I can maintain a state of joy and still be in that place and recognizing that maybe the situation isn't as good as it can be. But yeah, I guess that's as far as I wanted to take
it. It is nowhere near as good as it can be. That is what ascension is about. But let me speak to this. You are not joyful about the poverty, right, or the despair or the hunger that exists. But there is also a very popular notion, and it has become a behavior pattern, particularly in the Western world, and certainly among certain groups, that if you are in despair and angst, that it somehow is indicative that you care. Angst and despair, disappointment, none of these ever resolve and raise the vibration of the very thing that you are in angst about. So when you hold the joy and you bring the light, not as being Pollyannas or in denial, but to bring real light to a situation, then you are truly in your creative force. The tribe in South Africa does not spend time in angst and despair that there may be a drought coming or that the well four villages over is dry. They have learned to cope, to share the joy, to raise the vibration, and when they do, the water comes.
Thanks for speaking to that. That's exactly where I wanted to go with that. Susan from Connecticut, we don't have a lot of time, but certainly welcome your question or comment. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. And I appreciate you taking my call.
Yeah.
I have been raising my vibration and connecting to spirit in moments very profoundly. And then on this other side, I have a situation with my daughter, who is an adult, and that the relationship is severed and she's walking a dark path. And that happened very suddenly. So I'm just wondering if you have any guidance on that.
The power of healing. I know, dear heart, that we have been speaking of joy, but again, you raise the issue as a mother because it hurts when you see your child go awry, and particularly if they are going awry, not in a way of clearing, but in a way of choice of choosing an alternate path. Now also understand, and I remind thee, that even those who are on alternate paths are still being penetrated and lifted up and brought to the entrance point of the portal. So do not lose hope or faith. But yes, I have some very practical advice. The soul conversations are highly effective and potent. So do that. Call her. Remind her. I am your mother and I love you. I have loved you forever. I honor you. I respect you. And I know the truth of who you really are. I support you. Can you come back to me? Can you release the addiction?
I have no way to reach her. She's severed connection.
Oh, no, this is a soul conversation, dear heart.
Oh, okay.
And then you send her the violet flame. It is the flame of the I Am Presence. This is also done in meditation. Cup your hands together. Place your daughter within your hands. Hold a picture of her. And send the energy of the violet flame of Saint Germain. It will penetrate, it will reach. It reaches not only throughout the planet, but throughout the universe. So use it.
Oh, that's amazing.
Susan, thanks so much for your call. Best wishes.
Thank you.
We spend a lot of time on the show hearing from our guests and myself and Suzanne, and it's such a treat when Linda comes on as herself. And Linda, I wanted to take these last few minutes to give you that opportunity to come on and just share what you're connecting with as we talk about and wrap up this discussion around joy.
Then go in peace, dear hearts. I return you to Linda. Farewell.
Thank you so much.
Hey, hi.
Hey.
Oh, I'm just in this golden bonfire. You know, I'm working in a circle, and we're doing this series that's very intense. It's webinars, it's forum, it's chatting hours every day, called The New You. But one of the things that's come up for us in the last couple of weeks is the, and one of the participants had the perfect word on Saturday. It was frivolous. And I've been feeling the word and the action of silly. You know, I think of light as light workers particularly, that so often our commitment and the weight, the size of what we're working on, what we're working with, is so big, and at times, let's face it, onerous, that we forget, you know, that part of ourselves that just needs to take time out and just be playful, like angels in the snow or angels in the sand or just doing something. You know, one example was to take an afternoon off in the middle of the week and go to your favorite museum or do something that is just that you wouldn't normally be doing. And I know if I don't take time, and I have used this joy prescription for years. Gabriel, it's one of the consistent messages she gives. Take that 15 minutes of joy and do something that just makes you feel all warm and fuzzy inside. And what it does is it bleeds through and it grows into the rest of your day. I did last week, it was the anniversary of my mom's death. And what I did was I spent hours going through all these old pictures, not in a morose, sad, tearful kind of way, but in a way that jogged and brought back all these wonderful, warm family memories.
Linda,
and it really helped.
That is so perfect, and what a way to wrap up today's show. And I have a treat for you. Music certainly brings about joy. Are you ready?
Yes, I am.
Here we go. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. See you next week.